Hey guys, welcome to the Delta Flyers. I am your host, Garrett Wong, and here's my co-host, Robbie Duncan McNeil.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Well, hello there, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you in a holodeck? Where are you?
I am in a holodeck.
Your background looks like a holodeck.
Yes, yes.
Is that our holodeck?
That's our holodeck. And I really feel like, you know, that this is a good background because this show is all on the holodeck almost. A lot of it is. So
don't tell me. Don't tell me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I'm spilling the beans a little bit here.
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, I just want to I'm wearing the ChronoWorks shirt right now.
Oh, yes, from Futures End, part one and two. We have an episode-specific shirt, our first episode-specific shirt.
And the reason why it's the first episode-specific is because this is the same design that was printed up by Brandon Braga to give to the crew and the cast, or maybe just the cast. So one of these days when I do find that shirt, I'm going to show everybody.
That's
So that's why we have this shirt, because of that.
Throwback,
right? And to kind of, you know, throw a shout out to Brandon and his episode. So here we go.
Do you remember Marvin Rush used to make shirts now and then?
Yes. The only one I remember was that sweatshirt, right? And it said it had the Voyager logo. It had the ship on the left or right side. I can't remember which side, but right on the breast area, the upper chest. And then it said, Rick Berman is a personal friend of mine, is what he put on there.
He would print these shirts that had like a little bit of a jab, but fun, you know, stuff that people would always say. He made another shirt that was a shot at David Livingston, our director.
What was the shirt?
It said, the time allotted for this shot has expired.
That's right.
Because David Livingston would always take so much longer than any of the other directors. We had the longest hours. And Brad Yacobian, our production manager, producer, Brad would have to come down all the time. And Brad would always say, David, the time allotted for this shot has expired. And so Marvin made a shirt that said that. That would be a fun.
Oh my God.
It would be a good throwback t-shirt.
Yes. I totally forgot about that shirt, but I definitely remember that because the Rick Berman is my personal friend. That was a Christmas gift. I remember it was a sweatshirt during this winter time that he gave to everybody. And that jab is just, you know, a reference to the fact that in the entire 7 years that I worked on Voyager, I saw Berman on set twice, two times in 7 years. Wow. You may have seen him more. I don't know, but he was never there.
I just had a flashback. Do you remember at the seventh season, we made hats for the crew and it said Star Trek Voyager season 7. And on the back, it said fini, like in French, I guess.
Yeah.
Like
I have that. I still have.
Yeah. I was the one in charge of getting those ordered and everything.
Oh,
and I think I have somewhere in this move, I feel like I discovered that somewhere I found a box of those hats from the finale.
Yeah.
I think I still have some of those hats, you know, because different departments would make different things. The construction department made these plaques that a lot of people know about. They were season specific. Yeah. But as a cast, we made that hat for the crew.
I do remember that.
Yeah. And I think I may still have some of those, which would be crazy.
I think I ordered extra from you.
Did you get them?
Yeah, I did.
I think everybody got like one. You know, the cast got everybody got one, and then I think for the cast we said everybody gets like a dozen more or something.
Maybe.
But I think there was even we got more in case we needed, you know, more crew people or day players or whatever.
Find them, man. You gotta.
I should find them. I bet people would love.
They would love to. Yeah.
I can't promise that I have them, but if I can find them, that would be something.
That would be super.
That would be fun for people to have, you know, Maybe as people do our show, we'll guests and things like that.
Sure. I don't know. Be a little parting gift, right? You know?
Yeah, but that shirt reminds me of how we used to all different departments would make things, you know.
Yeah.
And Paramount didn't like it because we were kind of, you know, putting Star Trek stuff on there, and they didn't like it. They wanted
to. Yeah. I mean, I think that would be awesome to have. And then we could just say, thank you for being a guest on Delta Flyers. Your parting gifts are your Star Trek Voyager Season 7 shirt and a box of Rice-A-Roni. You know, like something
exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, we should have like, you know, get prizes behind a curtain or something.
I really think that's the way to go, for sure.
Okay.
Okay, so this week's episode is worst case scenario.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. We're almost to the end of Season 3.
We're so close. Oh, my God. Two more limericks, then I'm done. Two more limericks, then I'm done. Okay. All right, man. So let's go watch this. And we'll be right back, guys, with our discussion on worst case scenario. Hey, guys. Robbie and I are back from watching Worst Case Scenario. And guess who dropped in to join us for our recap and discussion of Worst Case Scenario? None other than Martha Hackett, Seska herself. Hey,
welcome, Martha. Welcome.
I'm back, just like in the episode.
Now, obviously, I knew that you were going to guest host with us today, but we were talking a little beforehand. I didn't remember how you came back. I was like, how is she going to come back? I didn't remember this episode. Couldn't figure out how on earth you could come back, and I thought it was great what they created, what they wrote for you.
Yeah, it's a good script.
That's a great script. Yeah.
The story within the story within the story.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
And what a wonderful surprise it must have been for you when you got a call from the producers saying, hey, we're bringing you back. And you're thinking, but I died. And yet.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Only on Star Trek.
Only on Star Trek.
Right. Or maybe a soap opera.
Yes, that's right. Star Trek and soap operas, same playing field where you can die and come back to life.
Yes.
Exactly. Rise from the dead.
That's right. Well, Martha, Robbie and I usually start each recap off with our poetry synopsis of the episode.
Yes.
So, yeah. So it started with me doing the haiku and Robbie doing a limerick. So haiku being Japanese, I'm Chinese American, you know, and then Robbie being having Irish and, you know, UK blood in him. A limerick was great. But then we swapped because, Robbie was saying how difficult it was. I'm like, okay, so I've been doing the limerick
for season three.
For season three. Yes. And then Robbie's doing the haiku. So Robbie, will you start us off with your haiku for worst case scenario?
I certainly will. Here's my haiku synopsis for worst case scenario. Maquis versus Starfleet. A story left unfinished. Tom and Tuvok team. That's it. There you go.
Tom and Tuvok team.
That alliteration.
Yes. Tom and Tuvok. I like to call Tom and Tuvok. Tuvom is Tom and Tuvok.
Tuvom? Is that the way you can do it? Okay.
I'm going to go with Tuvom.
Or I'm going to go.
It's like a celebrity couple.
Yes, exactly. It's like Brangelina.
Yeah.
When I see Tom and Tuvok, I always think of that song, Ebony and Ivory. That's all I can think of when I see you two, right? Okay.
They're a cute couple.
They are a good couple. We like that.
They're adorable.
And some good friction. Tension.
Yes. Exactly.
Sexual tension.
Yes. Always. What about your limerick? Let's hear the limerick synopsis.
Hollow novel enchants the crew. Seska added changes. Who knew? Tuvok and Tom won out. Lives in danger, no doubt. Phaser backfires on Seska. Pew, pew.
Very funny. Nice.
It is really cool, the backfire.
Yes, it is.
It is.
My 21-year-old the other day was like, that's a pretty cool way to die.
Yeah.
Yes. And
I was packing the biggest heat. I mean, it was like a 21st century gun.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you did.
No one else had a big gun.
The big phaser rifle.
Yes.
That's right.
That was very cool.
And I loved watching and comparing the two reactions to dying via a malfunctioning phaser rifle between Janeway when she bites it. And then when you... And yours is more rocker because, like, you almost do a little rocker thing to it, you know, which
it's
I like.
Right
I liked your reaction better than Janeway. So I'm going to say that right now.
Janeway took a big hit and then she sort of dove to the side. She did a diving.
I was experiencing, you know, that backfire thing.
Yes.
That's how I got killed. So
yeah. It looks so good.
I just want to call out, this was written by Ken Biller.
Oh, yes.
Who had been with us from the beginning. Ken Biller wrote the script.
Good friend of mine.
Alex Singer directed this episode. And I got to say, I noticed a difference in Alex's direction in this episode than he normally did. I think he really stepped up his game, because Alex was an older director, more, you know, a more veteran director than some of our directors. And Alex really did some dynamic shots in this. I thought some of the low angles and some of the tight close-ups, there was a lot more variety in the way Alex directed this episode. And I thought it was really great. So
it's also, I think, interestingly lit.
Yes.
It's dark. And then, you know, because it's this holodeck atmosphere, it does look different than other episodes. I'm not sure really? If I did another episode with Alex. I think this was my only one.
The only one. Maybe. Do you have any memories of Alex, working with Alex Singer?
That's what, yeah. I mean, on this episode, yes.
Yeah.
Because, we can discuss it later or discuss it now. I mean, I come on pretty strong in this episode. I'm sort of aggressive throughout. Not maybe the nuance I had at other moments as Seska. Uh-huh. And I think I was directed that way, as I recall, because she has created, I mean, true enough, she's created this persona of herself that's going to take charge. So it's all tough. I mean, pretty much, except for the kiss. You know what I mean? It's aggressive.
Yes, and Seska's dream does come true for a moment here. She's it's Seska and Chakotay. It's Cheska.
No, why would you go that way? Go the other way.
Which way?
Chakotay.
Chakotay.
Yes. Cheska. Come on, you're making it hard on yourself.
Chakotay.
Do you guys remember? I'm talking about something different, but. In the first few episodes, I did hear a Chakotay here and there from people.
Chakotay. Yeah, that was Chakotay.
We were figuring out a lot of pronunciations the first season or two. Yes. It was changing.
Yeah.
Chakotay. But Balana, didn't Balana, she pronounced her name Balana. I don't know.
Balana. It's Balana or Balana. So there's two different pronunciations of that too, right?
Yeah.
So it happens. Since you're already talking about Alex Singer, Martha, did Alex, you know, give you any pointers regarding anything kind of odd in terms of your performance, in terms of your process as an actor? Do you recall anything like that at all?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't remember any issues. Okay. I think he just, I remember vaguely that he just kept pushing me
harder,
to be hard,
tougher.
Hard, which made sense. That's how it's written. And I think, you know, that's the hologram she created, you know? Okay. So there's no negotiating versus this episode, you know?
And what I'm referring to is that he was an extremely blunt human being. He would come up to me and say, "Garrett, I don't know what you're doing with your mouth. You're biting on your jaw. You're causing your jaw to clench, and it doesn't look good. Stop it." So he would do this to me. Like, he would come up with these little tips, just random, thoughts in his head.
Yeah, one real specific thing that he'd focus in on sometimes.
Just to relax you on something.
Exactly. Just to build up your confidence and not make you self-conscious in any way, I say ironically.
Yes, that's what it was.
I want to read a Ken Biller quote that I found. Ken Biller says about this episode, "I won't say it's an out and out comedy. It ultimately has some serious jeopardy to a couple of characters, but it's a comic musing on the creative process. It operates on a lot of different levels. It's a little inside stuff about the creation of the show, the process of writing Star Trek, and the interaction between the actors who we write for and the writing staff. It was a lot of fun to write." Well, I find that quote really interesting because I felt like there were a ton of jabs at the actors in this episode about notes of how the holodeck story should be written. And, Bob Picardo comes in as the doctor with very brilliant and specific lists of dialogue changes and things like that, that I thought were, I'm sure they were loving jabs at the actors, but I definitely.
Did that reflect real life happenings?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, it does.
Writer notes. Yeah.
I think there were a number of actors that did that. Right. Bob was probably maybe at the top of the list, I would say.
Bob was at the very top of the list. Very. Why would you say you would say he's the, there's not even a close.
He would have dialogue pitches. But the thing about Bob is he was always great at saying, hey, I'll say what you wrote, but what do you think? Can I do this as an alternate? So he was always very respectful.
I'm going to push that a little further. At the height of Bob's suggestions, Bob would actually stop rehearsal and tell the director how he thought the shot should go. I remember this.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. He would say,
I don't remember.
He would say, you know, if you go ahead and pan across this way and then you come into a two shot, and actually that would afford you to have a much better efficient movement of camera. And then everyone would be like, And he would say after that,
was he right?
He would say, aren't I clever? He would say that after that. And it was just like, it's okay.
No, it really is. It really is 99% casting, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Perfectly cast.
Yeah. He was. Yes. He was.
Ken said that this was by far his favorite episode that he wrote, his favorite script, which I thought was interesting to read about.
Yeah.
I found a quote from myself that talked about Tuvok, and I said I really enjoyed working with Tuvok in Worst Case Scenario. And I found this episode a lot of fun. I was quoted. Also, Future's End and Future's End Part 2. Because of the comic side that comes out of both of us, meaning Tuvok and Paris. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was fun to see because I really did enjoy those characters together. And the last detail I'll throw out before we get into the story was the Holo novel features a class 2 shuttle. So when Paris and Janeway go off in a shuttle, Paris is driving a class 2 shuttle. Mm-hmm. There were no class 2 shuttles on Voyager in the first season. It didn't come around until the second season episode Threshold, when I had a couple lizard babies with Janeway. And that was the class 2 shuttle that broke the warp barrier. So that was a little mistake that they used the wrong kind of shuttle. This Holo novel, it should have been a class 1 shuttle. I thought those were interesting little details. Okay. I'm done.
Okay. Here
Let's
we go.
About the plot.
Let's start the plot. And we are in the corridor and we have B'Elanna. And of course, Chakotay comes up and starts talking about how he's not happy with Tuvok and not happy with Janeway. Wants to know if Torres is on his side regarding mutiny. And of course, that's when we show up on the bridge.
In those scenes, I felt like Roxanne. I was seeing a very different side of B'Elanna in those scenes. Like she was kind of nervous.
Yep.
She seemed
a little vulnerable.
Vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. She seemed a little bit out of sorts. The very opening moment when she's sort of, she's standing in the hallway looking around as if she doesn't know where she is. So clearly that's when I immediately was like, wait, what's going on?
Right.
This is different than the normal B'Elanna that we see. So
it draws you in for sure.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Now we're on the bridge. Janeway shows up. She's turning over control of the bridge to Chakotay. And now she leaves to join Paris in a shuttle to meet the Rakani. And basically, Chakotay kind of walks around. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, two security personnel show up. One is Tom Morga, one of our regular stuntmen.
That's right.
Other one I've written down as Ed Sheeran's cousin. Is the other security personnel to show up?
His name is Ransom Gates.
Okay,
he's another stunt person, I think.
Yes, I think he's a stunt guy.
He's uncredited because they called him Quincy or whatever the name is. Later on, they do give him a name.
They give him a name?
Yeah,
really?
They did give him a name. So Tom Morga,
yeah,
who has played every kind of alien as a stuntman on our show. Mm-hmm. He was Dennis Matalone's right hand man. Tom Morga's awesome. Mm-hmm. Great to see him there. Mm-hmm. I did notice that Carrie was sitting in my chair driving the ship in that first.
Was that Carrie? Was that the back of Carrie's head?
Regular
background actor Carrie that was sitting at con. But I'm going to still I'm not going to call him Ransom Gates. I'm still going to say Ed Sheeran's cousin. So
okay.
So they hand a pad to Chakotay and Tuvok's like, is something wrong? And he's Chakotay's like, no, it's just tomorrow's duty roster. And that's when Chakotay says to all hands, let's do it, which is so funny because that's a Janeway phrase. Janeway always says, do it, right? So he uses the same phrase. And Chakotay ends up shooting Tuvok. Morga shoots the con officer. Harry dodges Ed Sheeran's phaser fire, but ends up being shot by B'Elanna.
B'Elanna shoots you.
Shoots Harry.
It's quite a move she makes.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Very, very controversial.
It's really shocking, too, to see Tuvok shot.
Yes, it is.
Oh, so it's not shocking to see Harry shot then? No, is that what you're saying?
You didn't get shot in that one, did you? Oh, no, yes, it's totally. Yes. Later, you don't.
Well, in this one, too. In both.
Yes.
In both.
No, both.
Yes, I'm shot here. by B'Elanna, and then later I'm shot by Chakotay in when Paris plays the program, right? So now they're in the turbo lift, and we have Torres feeling a little bit bad about shooting Harry, and Chakotay says, look, you just stunned him. It's okay, right? Chakotay and Torres encounter this resistance in the corridors, and that's when they're fighting against other security officers, and we see another longtime background actor and also sometime stand-in for me, John Tampoya. He's shot and falls down, another security person. And then we see fire coming from somewhere else, and Seska arrives. And we see that this is the first time that Torres is playing this hollow novel out, because she's totally shocked that Seska is there. She's like, whoa, you know, hello. And Seska basically takes out the third security personnel with her rifle. How heavy was that one that they gave you? Do you remember that thing being really weighty? Or
it wasn't too bad, but it was solid.
Yeah.
You know, it felt definitely good. Wasn't it possible?
Yeah, one of the things that I always felt was they made those out of wood. And I thought, why didn't you make this out of balsa wood, not like hardwood? I felt like it was too heavy for what it was, you know.
Although it gave it a sense of realism. Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
most definitely.
True.
Most definitely.
That's true. By the way, when we see Seska, she is Bajoran.
And yes.
To me, immediately, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah, no.
But Bajoran, because that was what that was her cover before all of her cover was blown, and we realized, you know, she's
when she made this.
Yeah. Yeah. So
we weren't appearing.
Yeah, a number of clues in there.
And by the way, all these firefights, we have never had anybody, Robbie's mentioned this before, we never had any, what's the word?
We didn't have a technical advisor.
Yeah, a technical advisor to show us like, hey, what's the best way to, because like, you know, when Chakotay and Torres jump out, in real life, they would have been shot immediately, right? I mean, they jumped right out and all of a sudden they take out the security people, right? So there's a lot of this protocol of like how you would cover somebody else.
Police officers or... special ops people would move through a corridor safely,
right?
You know, and work together. We never had that sort of training.
We never had that. No.
A lot of times there's these firefights where you're like,
I just remember them being whatever they needed for the camera.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Not for any kind of accuracy.
Yeah. And same thing in the mess hall. You know, we're in the mess hall. Why doesn't Neelix and gang fire immediately at Seska and gang when they come in? No, everyone's like, huh? You know, kind of like deer in the headlights. And I love your line. I love your line, Martha, when you're like, Neelix, after he becomes the turncoat and he switches sides.
Yeah, he says, I know a winner when I see one.
Right.
Jumps to the other
side. Seska's like, do you want me to shoot him? I just like,
that's hysterical. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
So funny. Chakotay's like, no, we're still going to need a cook. All the various teams check in with the commander and they have taken control of the ship. And Chakotay says, we did it.
By the way, I think when the various teams check in, we have Raphael Sparge, who played Jonas.
Is he in there?
I think that he has an
on
audio
the call?
Only. Yes. Wow. I think they actually like had him come in and, you know, paid him.
I don't think that's right, though, Robbie, because he's dead at this point. We don't have
when
him.
She created the no, but when she created the program,
in
the holodeck, they actually got Raphael Sparks to come back on and do a ADR only.
That's brilliant. By the way, I just want to rewind for a second. When we first see Seska, she mentions the line. She says, "It's just like old times." Now in the mess hall, when Seska says, "We did it," then Chakotay says, just like old times. So this phrase keeps popping up because obviously Seska programmed this and she wanted that to be a prominent theme, is that, you know, it's just like how we were before when we were in love kind of a thing, right?
Yeah.
Side by side.
Yes. So now, that's right. So now, Robbie, now they start rounding up.
That's when they're clearing the quarters.
Yes.
So one thing I noticed in this, I don't know if you remember it, but every time a door opened, a couple of doors opened, and it was like the characters just happened to be walking across the room randomly as the door opened. In fact, the first guy, the extra, the door opens and he's walking across the room. But if he had continued to walk, there's a wall right there.
Like, yeah, where's he
why
going?
Why is he going that way?
Yeah.
It's just like Martha, you said, it's for the shot. Like they just want the shot to, you know, to happen that way. But it made no sense why he's walking and he's 2 feet away from a wall.
And plus, everyone's fully dressed in their uniform. I would have liked to see somebody in a towel. You know, that would have made more sense, you know. So the first person you round up is Larson, our background actor, our tall Scandinavian crew member. And once again, I'm going to say gold looks best on blonde people. Right?
I do not agree. It looks amazing. I thought in this episode, I remembered you saying that. Gold did not look good on me.
I thought it looked great on you too.
It's pasty.
Sorry.
It makes me look pasty.
No, well, I'm going to disagree with you. I think you look great. Okay. So now we're in Cargo Bay One and Chakotay.
By the way, they get Kes.
Kes, of course. Yeah. They round up.
And
they
I round give her up. A shove.
You
give
shove her in the cargo bay. Well, first you tell her no talking, you know, when you take her out of the quarters, you're very mean to her. And the cargo bay, you kind of elbow her forward, you know, and you just ding, just hit her like that.
Very rough. Kes, by the way, is wearing her season one and two, the early seasons hairdo. Mm-hmm. Because at this point in our real story, her hair has changed.
Yeah.
So that was another clue. I'm like, wait a minute. That's the old hairdo. She's changed that.
Right.
But she was also walking to nowhere.
Yeah.
I swear, both times, I'm like, it's
she's
the same
on a road
bit you guys
to
did.
Nowhere.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know. So now we're in this cargo bay and Chakotay is giving this speech to all the captured crew members. You know,
he's
you have a choice.
The whole crew, which we know is 148 because they've just recently said that.
Yeah.
And I think there's about six extras.
There's six there. Yeah.
There's nobody there. Why didn't they spend the money and bring in 50 extras or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
To me, that took me out. I was like, oh, come on guys, spend a little money.
That's true. Chakotay says to the help, Chakotay says to hell with Starfleet principles. We're not going to waste time investigating every anomaly we come across. So basically, Chakotay is saying no to science. We're going to use any means necessary to acquire technology to shorten our trip back home. And Paris now interrupts. And now we're kind of taken out like, wait, what's going on? Because everyone's reacting to Paris's intrusion, which is kind of cool, right? They're all holodeck characters. Go ahead, Ryan.
It was, and Chakotay was taking some shots at Janeway as a character, you know, like we're not going to just follow any little, you know, we're not going to show any interest in science. We're not going to go check out some anomaly that looks interesting, which I thought is funny because they're the ones writing those stories all the time.
Yes.
Like Janeway going, you know, let's go over and check this thing out or let's be friends with them. So
yeah,
I thought it was interesting.
It was. So you interrupt basically because Torres is late to a lunch date with you and she's not happy. Yeah. I guess this is jumping into someone's holodeck program is like reading somebody's diary. Evidently, like you're not supposed to do this. Right. So Torres is not happy. And Paris, love this line. It's not as if I caught you dancing the rumba with a naked Bolian. I'm like,
I know.
Oh,
I wrote that line down.
Nice
too.
Line there.
I know.
Oh, I love that. So you missed the lunch date and Torres was basically completing a routine purge of the database. Mm-hmm. This is what we learn as the audience. And that's how she found this holo novel about a Maquis mutiny. No clue who the author is, though.
By the way, all the actors are frozen in the background.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you remember doing this at all?
You know, when I watched it again, I thought, you know, we froze pretty well.
But I couldn't tell if I couldn't
tell if
you
were.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if you were actually frozen or if we had done
a
green screen plate. I don't know.
To me, it looked like a green screen plate.
It did?
Yes, it did. Really? You think you guys totally just all 30 of you or six of you, whatever the number was, froze like
so
that?
Definitely wasn't 30.
I was looking very closely like, oh, I think this might be green screen. So I don't know.
Maybe.
If it were green screen, because I've done this bit before as a director quite a few times.
Mm.
And the way that you show that some, you know, people are frozen is they should be in the middle of action, you know, that something is happening, that they're standing up and they're caught halfway. Or I did this on the show Resident Alien last year, where we were on a city bus and the bus is supposed to freeze and everybody and these alien lights come on and everybody's frozen in the bus except for two people. And one thing that I did was I got props to give us a coffee cup that had like rubber like coffee spilling out of it.
Yeah.
And so we had the actor, the background actor, just hold the coffee cup and you could see the coffee kind of coming out. And so we were able to, without doing visual effects or anything, it was a way of showing like, oh, in the middle of this bus, you know, hitting the brakes hard, the action is frozen. And there
but
was
that's
nothing.
Another reason I think it was maybe not a green screen, because we're all in sort of positions that we could maintain.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And I wish that it had been a little more active. I wish that people were starting to, you know, bring a rifle up or do something.
But look at what was happening before. Everyone's listening to Chakotay talking. So there is no action. The only action was they looked to the doorway that when you came in. And so that's where they froze it. When Paris comes in, everyone looks because he's like, B'Elanna, what are you doing here? And everyone looks. And so that's what you have. But you're right. It would have been cool if there was an action, but because of what happened right before, there is no action.
Yeah.
Except for listening.
A little between the very few background and sort of the, no offense to anybody, but boring freeze position. It was like, I wish that it was a little more dynamic, that we felt like Paris walked in the middle of something happening.
Right. And that's a key moment because then now we know it's a holodeck game. I mean,
exactly.
That's a holonovel. Correct.
Yeah.
All right. So Paris is basically saying, hey, should we report this to the captain? And then, you know, they basically talk about, hey, we need to run this entire program before we can give the captain a full report. So they,
there was some cute sort of like subtext conversation about, well, I think we should, you know, look into this whole thing before we tell her. Right. It was a cute banter, cute, you know, rom-com dialogue with Tom and B'Elanna, which I thought was nice.
Paris then runs the program himself. And I wrote down here, looks good in gold. I wrote that down. I'm going to say that right
Paris
now.
Paris in gold, not better on blondes. No, that's what I wrote.
Blondes are still going to look better in gold than any other
Disagree.
Haircut.
I am totally a summer. Agree. You are a fall. Okay. You're an autumn. Autumn is your palette. I am a summer palette.
Okay. We can agree to disagree.
What are you, Martha? What palette are you? What season?
I think I'm somewhere between fall and spring, not winter, but you know, both of those things. Okay. Summer's
too much.
Maybe winter.
I think you're a spring. I'm going to give you a spring, Martha. That's your palette.
Okay. Well, I like you in gold. And when you're running the program, you decide to be a little bit of a turncoat right off the bat. And you try to warn Tuvok. Chakotay does still shoot Tuvok. But now, instead of Tom Morga shooting anybody, Paris tackles Tom Morga. Harry shoots Ed Sheeran's cousin. And then Chakotay takes out Harry. And then I wrote down, where did Ayala come from? Ayala was not in the first playing of this program. But now Ayala is now part of this program. I thought, okay, so it's changed a little bit there. And now we're in the brig. Paris asks Tuvok when they're going to retake the ship. There's a little bit of conversation there. And then we show Tom switching sides very quickly in Cargo Bay 1. He's like, nope, I'll join you. Now we're in the mess hall. We have a scene where Paris is talking about how Chakotay didn't trust him, so he assigned him to lubricate the warp plasma manifolds.
Yeah.
Neelix comes over.
Lubrication is definitely a demotion. When you're assigned to be the lubricator, it's embarrassing. Let's be honest.
You could have that on your business card, like Tom Paris, and underneath lubricator, and then you hand that lubricator. To professional lubricator.
Yeah.
Neelix comes over and talks about how he played the holonovel and that.
By the way, when Neelix comes over and they cut to Roxanne's look to Paris, like you know. It was great. Her look was awesome.
That she spilled the beans to the doctor.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. It was a good look. And you know, Paris is worried. How many other people have you told about this? And of course, Gim then comes over, and then says that you know he's heard about this from Ayala. Ayala told him about it. So a lot of people know about this. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I think we have Paris's very first personal log. As far as I know, you have never done a personal log, and you're talking about
no,
yeah. You very say you're going to play a full-fledged member of Chakotay's team of mutineers. So you decide now to go along with everything, right?
Yeah.
So now
and I get to wear the Maquis clothes. Yes. It's really because I wanted to be in the comfortable Maquis clothes.
Right. So now we jump back into the holonovel and we're on the bridge. You are out of uniform in your Maquis clothing. And speaking of Maquis clothing, Seska, do you have anything near you that you can show us that might be Maquis-like?
Right. Martha.
One of a kind.
Did I just call Martha Seska? I did, didn't I?
Yes,
okay,
you did.
I did.
Oh my God, there it is.
All right, for all you listeners, Martha just got up and she is now showing us one of her Maquis outfits that she actually wore on Voyager. Yeah. And now the question-
Especially for this episode.
Yes, just for this episode, just for worst case scenario. And Martha, can you please share with us how on earth did you come by this piece of clothing?
I'm going to put it to the side because it's shedding.
Still looks great, though.
Yeah, you know, some friend of years ago, A friend of my ex-husband's saw it online on an auction. Wow. I think it must have been eBay, right, or something. Mm-hmm. And he bought it, unbeknownst to me, and I never knew about that. And then years later, about 5 years ago, he gave it to my sons to give to me, and they gave it to me for a holiday gift. But it was a surprise, really.
Aww. Now, when you opened up that box and saw that in there, did you know immediately what it was? Or were you thinking, this is not my style of clothing? Like, were you thinking that they gave you something random?
They were so excited about it.
I bet they were.
And my older son said, you'd wear it, wouldn't you? You could wear them all, right? That's where I had to really temper my reaction. Come on, you'd wear it again, right? And I said, you know, I was really thin. I don't think I would fit into this. That was my only way out.
You're probably one of the few people that have any wardrobe from Voyager other than Robbie McNeil, which we won't talk about. But other than that, everyone else's uniforms were auctioned off by Christie's Auctions, and Paramount made a mint out of just selling
it. Yeah.
So
I want to know how much he paid for it.
Maybe you should find out. I'd want to know. I'd like.
And it came with a card.
Yeah, we're showing everything and who wore it and everything.
That's
right?
Very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Thank you for showing that to us. And
I don't have a card with my uniforms.
You know what, Robbie? Let's just not even go down.
I sort of did it in the black market.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Whatever. Yeah.
It's a little.
We're done.
Sneaky. Okay. Yeah. Moving on.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back on the bridge, and warp engines are offline. Seska says B'Elanna's on it. Paris is now at tactical. Tom Paris is at tactical. He's at Tuvok station.
And Janeway's station. Yes,
in the Janeway shuttle.
Look
in the Maquis look. You look good in Maquis look.
I love it.
Not as good as the gold, but you look good in the Maquis look. And Janeway's shuttle returns. Now she's on the view screen, and I love this dialogue between Chakotay and Janeway. It's so calm and just reserved, and just. So much subtext is going on, though. You know, it's just wonderful.
I have a question about the view screen, though.
Mm.
Like, when they cut back and forth, we see Tom and Janeway on the view screen in the shuttle.
Yep.
And that's the holodeck Tom and holodeck Janeway. And the real Tom, who's playing the game, is at Tuvok station.
Yeah.
But it goes from, like, a two-shot on the view screen, cuts back to Chakotay, and then it goes to a close-up of Janeway. Does the computer just randomly decide what shots to put on the view screen? Like, I think I'll go with the two shot on this one. Like, feels like there was, you know, there should be one camera.
Yeah.
Although, after I wrote down this note, I started thinking, we have the Google Home. You know, the Google makes their home like it's a screen that sits on your counter. Mm. You can video conference with family and friends, and that my Google actually does pan around. Like, it's I guess. With movement and voice, it sort of picks who's
speaking.
Who's speaking, and so as you move around the room, it sort of follows you. My Google Home. So I figure if Google Home can do it, I guess Starfleet can do it too.
And you know what, Robbie?
You definitely don't have any privacy, man.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, if you think about it, Zoom does that now. As I'm speaking, my box is lit up, right? And then once you start speaking,
that's right. It's choosing. That's
right. Choosing right now. Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah. So Starfleet, so Star Trek, again, was ahead of the curve in doing things. The computer was doing things that Zoom did 20 years later. Okay.
Most definitely.
All right. Thanks. I'm glad we talked about this.
Yeah. Yeah. of course, the conversation goes south and Chakotay now fires, Janeway fires on Voyager. Chakotay fires back, destroys the shuttle. But during, before being destroyed, Janeway and Paris have now transported over to Voyager. While the shields were down, and Janeway and Paris are now trying to free the prisoners.
Yes.
Yes. So now we're in the brig, and Janeway is trying to deactivate the force field. Now Chakotay shows up, and Janeway stuns Chakotay, who, you know, believe it or not, he's still so strong. Evidently, he has enough power to still shoot Janeway.
Pull the trigger and shoot Janeway.
Yes.
Yeah, they shoot each other.
No, they shoot each other. Mm-hmm. And Paris has his phaser on Rebel Paris, who also draws his phaser. So very cool shot of Paris on Paris.
Yeah, it was cool.
Very cool shot.
Yeah.
And so there was a two shot that was obviously VisiFX of Paris holding a weapon to fake Paris. But then there was some cover. There was some coverage over the shoulder.
Yep.
I was trying to remember, because you have to have a real actor there, a photo double to shoot over their shoulder to me in one position and then the other side.
Yeah.
I don't remember who that photo double was. I wonder if it was Keith, my stand-in. Because he did look a lot, you know, over the shoulder. It might have been Keith.
It had to have been, right? I mean, just for point of reference,
hired someone else that was a better match. I don't know. But
okay.
But yeah. There was definitely someone in those tighter angles that was standing in the foreground.
Right.
When they shot both sides of that. So.
Yeah. And then, you know, the program ends and Paris is really befuddled. He doesn't understand what it's done. It's done. So the next scene, we're now on the holodeck where it looks like my background, the hologrid, and Taurus and Paris are trying to figure out the author of this holographic program, which is called Insurrection Alpha, by bypassing the security overrides. But still, even doing that, they can't figure it out. They don't know. Neelix shows up and he says he's asked everybody and nobody knows who is the author of this Insurrection Alpha program. Mm-hmm. So now we're in the briefing room. So after the discussion of official business by Janeway does bring up the holonovel. It's been accessed by 33 different crew members.
47 times by 33 crew members.
Right.
It is popular like wildfire.
It is.
I love the face acting in this scene, by the way.
Like
all of the reactions to you and to Neelix and to me, B'Elanna. And Tim is just this, you know, Tuvok is deadpan.
Yeah.
But some of the face acting was amazing.
It was off the charts. We were very a lot of facial mugging. Yes. Tuvok admits that he was the author and that he says it's not a holonovel. It was a tactical training program for junior security officers. So when the Starfleet and Maquis crews bonded, he decided there was no use to finish this program. There's no longer any need for this program. So the program was left unfinished. So then he talks about permanently deleting the program at the captain.
Yeah, he says, we gotta get rid of this. Yeah.
With all due respect, this is Janeway's great line. With all due respect, Mr. Tuvok, loosen up, which everyone loves that.
I know. I laughed out loud. By the way, when Janeway's asking the room, like who here has played this game?
Yeah.
And first Tom and B'Elanna say, you know, we have. And then it cuts over to you and Neelix.
Which Chakotay asked like that, right?
Chakotay asked. And then both of your hands come up
slowly
together.
We're not even looking at each other. We both kind of mimic each other. Yeah.
It was very funny.
Oh, very funny. And on the way down, we have a very awkward flourish of our hands, too. Yeah. So it's like,
it's a lot of mugging and face acting and
most
bits.
Definitely.
A lot of bits.
Yeah.
And a big group chuckle, I think.
Yeah, a big group chuckle. Exactly. Yeah. It's cute, you know. I mean, overall, it's a cute scene. I don't have a problem.
Yeah, but Janeway wants to finish it. She's like, "Come on, loosen up, have some fun. Let's finish it." Again, I'm gonna say, if Janeway had trusted Tuvok, we wouldn't be in this mess. Janeway keeps making the calls that get us in trouble. Episode after episode, she's like, "Let's go check out that anomaly." And it takes over the ship. Or let's go meet those aliens. They seem friendly.
Yes.
No, they're not.
But she's trying to help everybody all the time. Yeah. And she says, look, I'm not just the captain. I'm a leader of a community. And communities need entertainment, culture, creative outlets. It's only natural that we should start creating our own. So that, you know, it's an honest It comes from an honest, good place.
It does. You're right. I tease. I know you're teasing.
You are teasing. But you always tease.
Often the source of
the catalyst of everything bad that happens to Voyager.
The challenges we face. Yes.
Okay.
The notion of community was something I hadn't heard before.
Right.
Mm. Did you guys, was it ever discussed? Because it's kind of an interesting road to go down.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. No, and up until this point, no, you don't hear that so much from her. I mean, it was definitely a new thought process from her, which was kind of cool. You know, it's like, oh, I like that. That's new. So that's true. That's a new one. Now we jump to mess hall, and Paris and Tuvok are there. Tuvok is offering his probability studies before beginning the scenario, which
data
is hilarious.
Data and probability
Here's
studies.
My data. And Paris says he doesn't need it.
I'm going to wing it. I'm just going to make it up.
Which is kind of the way Robbie directs. He wings it.
Exactly.
He kind of, you know, which is his real true personality. And Paris says, you know what? Don't get so caught up in logic. And Tuvok is like, well, logic is an integral part of narrative structure according to the dictates of poetics by T'Hane. And I love how he has to say that T'Hane is a Vulcan. By T'Hane, a Vulcan. Okay, we know who T'Hane is.
Oh, he said of Vulcan, I thought.
I rewound that multiple times. It came out, it sounds like a Vulcan. I thought it was of Vulcan at first, but then
Vulcan, I think.
All right, you can double check.
The Dictates of Poetics by T'Hane of Vulcan.
I thought it was of at first, and I rewound it a million times, and it kept sounding like to me.
All right.
Yeah, like he didn't put
Plato them. And Aristotle aren't good enough.
For you know, you need T'Hane. So Tuvok doesn't want Paris to turn this into a parody. And then now Tori shows up, and this is when she says that the story needs a little heart. Did you have some notes on this? Okay.
Yes. So Tori shows up, and she says, "Well, up until now, this story has been nothing but action, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But what this needs is a little heart, a little emotion."
Yeah.
And Tuvok says, "We are not writing a romance novel, Lieutenant." Now, my head went right to the romance novel that Janeway attempted in the first season or two.
Oh, God.
That I thought was a big failure. And I think this was
that
the
you,
writers.
We thought.
We thought. I hated that freaking romance novel.
It was the worst.
It was the worst. And I think this was the writers literally saying, having B'Elanna say, hey, let's do a romance novel. And Tuvok going, we are not doing a romance novel because they gave up on that romance novel. I think everyone agreed it was not, didn't help her character. It just didn't feel, wasn't very exciting.
By the way, this is a total non sequitur, but that little girl that shows up in the romance novel, the daughter of the guy, is the same girl in real life, I think. The daughter of Bob Picardo's character.
No.
Yes.
Can't be.
I think
we'll
have to do some
research on that.
Random non sequitur. So
she wants emotion and romance. She wants a romance novel, which I love the writers kind of saying we're not doing any more romance novel.
Right. Neelix shows up.
Neelix wants to help. Paris says he wants to have a steamy love scene between the con officer and the engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And she says something, what was her response? Like, oh yeah, that's not very realistic or something, which I thought was also funny.
No, she said that's realistic in
but sarcastic
deadpan way. Like, yes,
that's realistic.
Mm-hmm.
That's never going to happen.
Exactly. This is the one place that moment, that line, I was very happy as an actor with what I did, but that I thought that exchange, because Tom and B'Elanna are just now, Martha, finally in the last few episodes, beginning to directly address their interest in each other and their connection and their relationship. So I found that exchange a little tricky, and I wish we had played it differently. Anyway, but otherwise I thought the scene, it was really fun. It was everybody pitching their two cents on what this story should be, like the actors of Voyager did with the writers.
Right. Like a writer's room.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. So now after Neelix offers his suggestions, that, you know, how dare he would never write Neelix that way, betraying the captain like he did in the story. So now Tuvok and Paris leave to find someplace more quiet to work. They're in the corridor. Tuvok and Paris are arguing over what to do with this story, and they enter the holodeck, and guess who's there? The doctor is already waiting for them and gives his suggestions, which Tuvok quickly shuts down by transferring the doctor's program right back to sickbay, which was brilliant. I love that scene.
Yeah.
Tuvok opens the narrative parameters file. Dun, 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 which according to Harry, then causes power loss to the transporters. The comm is down. Holodeck systems are completely scrambled. So this is Seska's plan all along, now set into motion. That's smart, smart Seska. Now we're in the brig, and Seska's holodeck character has shown up, and Tuvok and Paris are behind the force field, and they're completely perplexed. They have no idea what's going on, and Seska informs them that the holodeck is now sealed, and the safety protocols are off.
By the way, Martha, I remember, as I watched this episode, I remember thinking when I did this episode that you and I had not worked together. Like, I don't think we had been in many scenes at all. If we were in scenes before this, it was very peripherally. Because I remember when I was doing this episode, I was like, oh, this is fun. She's really good. Like, this is, I was having a good time. And I just... Yeah, that came back to me as I watched the episode.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think we had any exchanges except when I was on the bridge in like episode 2 or 3 and I had a medical shoulders on instead of the engineering shoulder.
Yeah, that's right. Very little interaction. So this was really fun. And I remembered it being really fun and being aware that we hadn't, you know, in a lot of the scenes that are coming up. When I was in scenes with you, that it was really fun.
And I honestly don't remember you being in this episode this much, Robbie. It was just like, wow, he's all over this one. I was quite jealous. I was like, man, he got to work with Martha this whole time.
I know. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, a lot of us didn't. We didn't get to work with you that much before. It was really focused in on just a few characters.
Okay. So let me continue. So the holodeck is sealed off. That's what we learned from Seska, and the safety protocols are off. And I just love this line from you, Martha, which means if I shoot you, and I am going to shoot you, you'll die, but not just yet. You've got 10 seconds to run. I mean, just the tone with which how you played this, Martha, was perfect. Absolutely perfect. I mean, yeah, I just loved every little bit of your acting. I gush over you. I literally do. I mean, you are arguably, I'm not going to say arguably, you are the best recurring character on Star Trek Voyager, period. Hands down.
Period.
Right on. Thank you.
Very killed it. We love you.
They wrote me. I mean, it was good writing too.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Tuvok tries his comm to get out of there, but comms are down, according to Seska. Sorry, that's not going to happen. You better start running. And I just love how Paris goes like, I guess we better run. I mean, you're very casual at this point, Robbie. I mean, I'm just like, okay.
It's a game. I thought it was a game. I know.
And when you're running on the corridor, you're still making smart ass comments like, leave it up to Seska. Even death won't even stop her or something like that, right? You're just running along, joking and kind of laughing. Right? Yeah. Janeway then sees you guys and she whispers, hey, come over here. Come into the transporter room. And so that's when you guys run in there and realize that this holographic Janeway is still in the midst of playing this holo novel or holo program out. And Paris makes the comment.
Holographic Janeway. Yeah. And Paris says, well, maybe we should help her. Like we can fight Seska and take back the ship. Mm-hmm. And Tuvok, who's much smarter than Paris, Tuvok says, no, I think we should not participate.
Yeah.
Let's just not.
No interaction.
No interaction. Mm-hmm. Avoid participating in this. Mm-hmm. Anything we do could lead to trouble.
Yeah.
And then Seska and Chakotay show up.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like this might have been one of the first scenes we shot, actually.
Really? This one.
It was an earlier scene because this is the scene where I had a memory today as I watched it. I had a memory of going, oh, I'm in a scene with Martha Hackett. And I think that happened early. You know, the first time, you know, as we went through the other scenes, you know, I got used to doing scenes with you, but I remember being in the transporter room was the place that I was very aware of. Oh, we hadn't worked together before.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that was one of the first shots we did.
I think so.
So basically, Seska dares Janeway to shoot. Janeway does pull the trigger, but Seska has manipulated the phaser rifle. So now that Janeway is basically vaporized.
Do you remember Kate doing that bit? I have a vague memory of it, but do you remember her taking the hit from the, you know, the backfire of the rifle and dying?
I do not.
Okay.
I don't remember.
I remember her laughing hysterically. I remember her.
I wish I remembered.
I remember her when, you know, because we have to lock off and do a plate of no actor and get for the vis effects of it all. And then she has to fall onto the pad on the floor below frame. And I just remember her laughing at like, I don't know why. I remember just her being hysterical, thinking that she looked ridiculous and how do I do this? And I don't know. That came to me as I watched the episode.
I can see that right now. You've painted a very good picture there. Yeah. So after she's vaporized, Chakotay sort of grabs Seska at the waist.
They
and
make
says,
out. Let's just say it. They make out.
They make out. But
we lock lips.
Yeah,
we
but
lock lips.
He has one line. He says, "You're an incredible woman, Seska." And then they kiss. But what they missed was he should have said, "Just like old times, you're an incredible woman, Seska." He should have thrown that one in there. His comedy comes in threes, and they've already done two readings of that line. This would have been the perfect place for the third.
I felt in that moment like, okay, Seska's programmed this story where she gets Chakotay, which she was determined to make Chakotay love her, and she gets Chakotay. And then Paris's response is basically, Seska, none of this is real.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you're you so tried dismissive. To get rid of the, I thought it was really mean. It was mean of Paris to say, oh, you're happy right now with your Chakotay? It's not real.
Yeah, but you got your just desserts right after that, because the way she programmed it, she's like, okay, go ahead, Chakotay. And Chakotay's like, I've been waiting for this. And boom, he shoots you with the phaser with all the safety protocols off. And boy, do you feel it. You're like, ugh, phaser burn.
I had to suffer hard.
You were suffering. Yeah.
It was pretend suffering. I didn't really suffer.
That's true. That's true.
They didn't really shoot me with a laser beam.
Really?
That was not a real laser.
Oh, no. Okay. Nope. Thanks for sharing. Well, then you run. Then you guys run out of there, right? And you run to sick bay. And you're like, why are we here? And then Tuvok's, well, maybe these holographic, you know, instruments can help you. And the doctor's program shows up. And then he
gets really forceful. He like shoves me back on a bed.
He does.
And then he hits me with some kind of hypo spray.
Do you know what he put in you? 20 cc's of nitric acid.
Oh,
he injected you with acid.
With acid.
And I made a note here. He is far scarier here than in Darkling. Like, I felt Darkling, they were pushing it so hard, you know, with the mouth prosthetics, making him look like. Because when anytime you try to look evil, boy, it just goes sideways. It doesn't.
No, he was so cold
and scary as heck. Yes.
And robotic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really robotic. Mm-hmm. Just good.
Yeah. And throws both of you out. He throws you so hard, both of you hit the bulkhead, basically, outside the entrance of sick bay. And I love that scene with the doctor. And now you guys
decide. It was a good fight scene. I got to swing at a hologram again. And
Tuvok got choked. Yeah. So
he got choked and I swung and missed.
Yeah. Which you should have learned your lesson when you did that in an earlier episode.
I know.
You swung at the doctor and
I tried
missed.
To slap him once and it went right through.
It went right through him and you did it again.
But when we did it that time, it didn't look good to me. This swing actually looked good.
You did. This was a much better swing, but you didn't learn from the initial swing's outcome, right? And then we learned that Seska has basically programmed the program so that you guys will be tortured all throughout before she doesn't want you to die quickly. She wants to extend this pain.
You're horrible.
And it's really a horrible person. It's absolutely what the funniest part is. When you guys realize you're being tortured, then you're in the corridor and you decide to go to the Jeffries tube, which I wrote down. In actuality, that's even more torture because on your knees in that Jeffries tube, it's so painful. Like it's the worst. So it's a side note. It's a behind the scenes kind of a joke, I guess. But actors on Star Trek don't like the Jeffries tube. Typically, it's horrible.
Claustrophobic. It's painful on your knees.
Yeah,
it's
really bad. Really bad. So we're on the bridge, Janeway, Torres, and Kim. Janeway decides, okay, best way we can help them, rewrite the program, right? Mm-hmm. So now Paris and Tuvok are still in the Jeffries tube and they come across this crazy plasma leak.
I have a question,
leak.
Though. Let's go back to the bridge, because when they figure out that Seska had programmed it, so the next time Tuvok opened the narrative files, that her additions would be triggered.
Yes.
And I thought, how did Seska know that Tuvok was creating this super secret program when no one else knew about it? B'Elanna stumbled on it when she was cleaning out the files or whatever. Like, this was one plot bump to me that I was like, how did she know about the super secret thing?
Well, I think she was a really good spy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you think back when the Kazon and Seska take over the ship, I know everything about operating the shift.
Yeah,
not just the engineering. Mm-hmm. I could fly it. I knew, and I think she was doing things all the time.
Yeah. Okay. I'll buy that.
That was the logic I applied to it.
No, I did this. That's the same logic I applied. I just said the attention to detail that Seska probably, you know, her character is just so knowledgeable about everything. Like nothing kind of escapes her peripheral vision in a way, right? Yeah. So she's always on top of
it. No detail is left out.
That's right. Yeah. No detail is left out. Left unturned.
No stone.
I buy that. I will also say on the bridge, this is the moment where I was like, oh, all this shit is going down. Excuse my language. Mm-hmm. All this crap is going down. And if Janeway had listened to Tuvok in the briefing room, we wouldn't be in, like, Janeway.
Fine.
Oh, now you got to save everybody because you said, let's write this program. Like,
So they're in the Jeffries tube, this plasma leak. They come across that, which is,
by the way, Tim Russ and I are crawling through the Jeffries tube shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
And I remember how small they were for just one person to go through. I was like, oh my God, how did we get?
No.
Sometimes, you know, Martha, you may remember, they'll ask you to stand close to another actor to get it in the shot. And it's just unnaturally close. You're just, people would never be that close face to face. Or this was a moment I was like, I would never crawl down that Jeffries tube next to Tuvok. Why am I doing that? Like, there's no room. Anyway.
It played well, though. It didn't look bad. You know, it didn't look messed up. So this plasma leak is supposed to cause further injury and harm to both of you. But now, magically, a plasma extinguisher appears, and they realize, or at least Tuvok believes, that this is Janeway kind of helping out, right?
Yeah, and that's what Janeway said. She's going to start writing. She's going to try to write. She said that earlier. So now we see she's having some success.
Right.
She got him a plasma extinguisher.
Right. Yep. And then they see this message from Janeway to go to the weapons locker. And as they go to the door to head that way, it's Chakotay and Ed Sheeran's cousin are waiting for them. And it's completely their plan is foiled. And then Janeway realizes this is crazy. They're no longer in the bridge. Now they're in engineering, where Janeway and Torres are working on these rewrites. And they realize that Seska has already outthunked them. This is a game of chess. Seska has already programmed algorithms to combat Janeway's changes to the program.
It's basically going to adapt. Like adapt. If somebody tries to change Seska's writing, she'll
like it'll a
just
virus.
Adapt.
Adapt itself. Seska is a virus. I always thought of that.
Look at the parallel to the real world right now. Look at this so crazy. So now they're in the cargo bay, and Janeway is frantically reprogramming everything she can, and she changes the personality traits of Chakotay's hologram, where he's like, you know what? Do we really need to kill them? Do we really need? And of course, Seska's program overrides that, and Seska kills Chakotay right there.
Well, it's interesting. So when Seska first decides, let's execute these guys, and she says to the guards, you know, bring them over here. We're going to execute them. There's a shot of a wide shot that Janeway's looking at, you know, like the surveillance shot or something.
Yeah.
And I saw the guard that has me. He walks me over and then he's looking down for my mark on the ground. You can see it in the shot. He's like supposed to be the tough guy guard, but you see him like looking at the ground for where should I put Robbie, the actor?
Instead, he's helping you.
Yeah. He's helping me to make sure I get on my mark. So that was sweet of him. That caught my eye.
Martha, I think your line right before you shot Chakotay should have been, it's not like old times. Taking him out right there. That would have been brilliant.
When she shoots him, by the way, we go back to Janeway seeing this on that surveillance shot, and you see Robert kind of fall backwards and jump, because clearly the pad that he's falling onto, the soft pad so he doesn't hurt himself, is right off camera. It was another one of those moments of like, he's definitely falling onto a pad back there.
Yeah, but you're the only one who's gonna know that, though.
That's Robbie. What I'm no telling the people. Yeah. That's our job, Garrett, to tell the people
all the secrets revealed.
All the secrets of the pad off camera.
I want to know your thoughts in that final scene there. Do you remember anything, Martha, in shooting that final shooting Chakotay scene at all?
It was all fun in there because lots of stuff was happening and turns were happening. Yeah. And I thought it was fun and funny.
You know,
we were having a good time.
We had a really good time.
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, that's what I...
All right. And then, of course, the very, very final, you know, beats of that scene, or Tuvok is basically, no, how did this set up? You basically say, you're going to self-destruct the ship, right?
She shoots Chakotay.
I set it to self-destruct unless he gives me the gun.
That's what it was, right.
But right before that, there's a ship shake because Janeway has added the Rakani.
Ah, Rakani attack.
Rakani attack.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so the ship shakes and the gun goes down, and that's how Chakotay gets the, or not Chakotay, Tuvok. Chakotay's dead. Tuvok. Gets the rifle,
right.
And so now he's got this big phaser rifle,
right?
And
he makes that comment. He goes, "I'm putting on phasers set to kill or something," but really he was setting it to malfunction, right? That's the little
right
that's in there, right?
Yeah.
And that's the chess game right there. And so instead of having the ship self-destruct, Tuvok relinquishes the phaser rifle to Seska, who doesn't know that Tuvok has played the chess game and kind of outplayed her there. And so then we have Martha with her fantastic death that just, it's beautiful. It's poetic. Wonderful. I loved it. It looked better than Janeway's death, for sure.
It was a good, it was a very internalized, very painful death. Yes, it was.
Well, I thought it was a better death than my other one, my real one.
Yeah. The one where you just went,
I crawled to the baby.
Crawled to the baby, and then you just kind of
went. Oh, yeah.
Because that looked like you passed out. It didn't look like you died.
I died, yeah.
That's a thing, right? So you really.
Well, this was a big success, your death here. And by the way, Garrett, so she dies, and then everybody's safe. And then we hear Harry say to Janeway, who's in engineering.
Yeah.
Or I think maybe even we hear it in the cargo bay. Yeah. Harry goes, "Hey, I've got the transporters back online."
Right.
Like, you've been. And I'm like, my first thought is like, dude, we took care of this. Thanks for the help a little late.
Hey, I was working the entire time frantically because I was worried about you.
For your
best friend down there. Did you see the worry on my face? There was definite worry.
It was a little late. Okay. She was about to kill us.
Hey, I don't know that that's going on. All I know is I'm doing my job and I know that you're going to die and I'm trying to save your life. Okay.
Well,
all right.
Thanks for the help a little late. we're fine.
A little bit like a tortoise.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God.
It was very, very sweet, but a little late.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Okay, so the very last scene, Seska's dead. And I love this last scene in the mess hall because all of us are sitting around a table at like a family dinner, sharing our characters' thoughts and feelings and our relationships. I just love that scene. I was like, why didn't we do this family dinner more often? Why didn't, you know, whether it's at the end of an episode or the middle of an episode or the beginning, I don't know. It just feels like Janeway would have made a regular kind of group hangout. Like that would have been a harmless, we wouldn't have all almost died from Seska with her trying to, you know, get the game finished.
Yeah.
She could have just invited us to dinner and that would have built a nice community and we wouldn't have been at risk with all the game playing. So
very true.
I like the dinner. That's all I'm going to say. I wish
you have to tear the kids away from the games.
Yes,
exactly.
Sit down to dinner.
Yes. Janeway should know that. Like put the video games down, the holodeck games down and come have a nice dinner with the family.
Yeah.
Here's my theme for this episode. Star Trek writers don't like getting notes from the actors. That's my thing.
Wow.
I think this was a big shot at writers getting notes from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Ken Biller spun it in a nice way of, oh, this is the creative process and it was fun and all. But I think that was my big takeaway. It was like, you guys really don't like getting notes from actors or other creative people.
Okay.
That's my theme.
All right. This is my lesson. My lesson from this episode is that the writer should never have killed off Seska because of how good she is.
It's a good lesson.
As a recurring character.
Yeah.
She should have stayed with us for the entire run of this series because Seska has been one of the fan favorites from day one. People love Seska, and just the way you played Seska was so spot on that killing you off was so stupid. That's my lesson.
It's a good lesson.
Okay.
Good lesson.
Okay. Martha, any thoughts?
Closing thoughts? My lesson was you really need to learn and use the delete button. Which is what Tuvok should have done to his damn yep. Instructional thing. But he didn't learn that. He sure didn't get in enough trouble.
And to piggyback on your idea, here's another lesson I learned, is that when you put something on your computer, you never know who's going to look at it. So be careful. That's a good lesson.
True.
Tuvok put this, he thought it was a secret program and it got looked at.
And Seska got it encrypted, not him.
Yeah, that's right.
That is right.
Or made it encrypted.
All right, nice. Guys.
Well, that was fun.
That was a wonderful, thank you again to Martha Hackett for joining us for our recap and discussion of Worst Case Scenario. Thank you, Martha.
You're welcome.
It's always fun to see you guys.
Yeah. Guys, join us next week when Robbie and I will be discussing the final episode of season 3, Scorpion, part 1.